All right, well, our special music has arrived and situated, so we're glad they're here. Thought just appropriate for today, sort of the main service coming up, but honoring our veterans and the freedoms we have. But this is something that Joanna suggested to me, that the Pledge of Allegiance, we all say it. We've said it throughout our lives. Some of us have probably seen some changes to the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go, a little history and everything. But this is why I appreciate Joanna sending me this. How many of you know, might be a little before some of your time, Red Skelton? Do any of you know who Red Skelton? But Red Skelton, I love his humor, but as a schoolboy, one of his teachers explained the words and the meaning of the Pledge of Allegiance to his class. So this was a long, long time ago. So Skelton later wrote that down, and this is one of those skits that maybe some of you have seen on, you know, the Tonight Show or whenever he would do it. So I've asked Skelton's nephew to help me out here, but a little bit of dueling, just how he, the commentary of the Pledge of Allegiance, just to start us off. So, me, an individual, a committee of one, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, my love and my devotion, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves there is respect because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that is love for country.
And to the Republic.
Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern, and government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people.
For which it stands, one nation,
meaning so blessed by God,
indivisible,
incapable of being divided,
liberty,
which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life, without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation.
And justice.
The principles or qualities of dealing fairly with others.
For all.
Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, that'd be you now. Thank you, Art. Let's say the pledge of stand, and we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, please be seated. And so then Red Skelton goes on, since he was a boy, that it's changed a little bit, which you might have recognized. And so a little of that discussion maybe you're familiar with, but I thought might be interesting, and especially just with today being what it is, our nation as a nation that this side of elections, you know, we are a great nation. And so the U.S. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag was written in 1892 by a 37-year-old minister named Francis Bellamy. And the original version of Bellamy's pledge read, I pledge allegiance to my flag and the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. By not specifying to which flag or which republic allegiance was being pledged, Bellamy suggested that his pledge could be used in any country as well as the United States. And he wrote this pledge for inclusion in the Boston published Youth Companion magazine that it was also printed on leaflets and sent to schools throughout the United States at the time. So the first recorded recital of the original Pledge of Allegiance took place on October 12, 1892, when some 12 million American school children recited it to commemorate the 400th anniversary of the voyage of Christopher Columbus. I mean, Indigenous Peoples Day. Despite its widespread public acceptance, important changes, as written, were on the way. And so the pledge, this is what I find interesting, you've probably seen this, was said with the right hand in the so-called Bellamy salute. Does that remind you of anything? With the right hand resting outward from the chest and an arm extending out from the body. Once Hitler came to power in Nazi Germany, they decided that's probably not the best way to do the salute, fascist salute. And so in 1942, Congress established the current practice of rendering the pledge with the right hand over the heart. Well, one of the first changes, or one of the initial early changes, was made in consideration of immigrants, because pledge allegiance to my flag, well, they're coming from other countries. And so in the early 1920s, the National Flag Conference, which is where we get our flag code, if you are familiar with that, which teaches us how we should treat the American flag and what it should and should not be used for. The American Legion, Daughters of the American Revolution, all recommended changes intending to clarify its meaning when recited by immigrants. And so they addressed some of the concerns that since the pledge is then written failed to mention the flag of any specific country, immigrants to the United States might feel that they were pledging allegiance to their native country. I mean, think of some current topics that come up with immigration and where are your allegiance supposed to lie? And so their allegiance should be to the United States when reciting the pledge. So in 1923, the pronoun my was dropped and the phrase the flag was added, resulting in I pledge allegiance to the flag and republic, one nation, indivisible and all. So then a year later, to make sure it was really clear, added the words of America, resulting in I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for God. But then in 1954, and maybe some of you as kids might have remembered this or didn't even know, but this was the Pledge of Allegiance underwent the most controversial change to date with the threat of communism. See, I love it, those godless communists. With the threat of communists looming, President Dwight Eisenhower pressed Congress to add the words under God to the pledge. And so in advocating for the change, Eisenhower declared it would reaffirm the transcendence of religious faith in America's heritage and future and strengthen those spiritual weapons which forever will be our country's most powerful resource in peace and war. I like it when presidents talk like that. So then on June 14th, 1954, in a joint resolution amending the section of the flag code, Congress created the Pledge of Allegiance, recited as we know it today. Well, and I won't go through this, but some of you may remember, I remember some of this, but church and state and controversies and you can't make kids and what about, and so the constitutionality of the inclusion of under God, but some of the, in fact, I remember this guy, I think it was Michael Newdow, tried to bring a Supreme Court case to get under God taken out of, but the Supreme Court, since several times, just said that it is something patriotic, and kids have the option under the First Amendment and the 14th Amendment, if they don't want to say it, they don't have to, but that this is something, just patriotism for our nation. Let's see. Yeah, and entirely voluntary to say it. And so now, of course, you see sometimes we love to show the disunity when this is being forced. The flag code, I wanted to just touch on this little history, but for U.S. code, the Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag, the Manner of Delivery. The Pledge of Allegiance to the Flag, then recites it, should be rendered by standing at attention, facing the flag with the right hand over the heart. When not in uniform, men should remove any non-religious headdress with their right hand and hold it at the left shoulder, the hand being over the heart. Persons in uniform should remain silent, face the flag, and render the military salute. Members of the armed forces not in uniform and veterans may render the military salute in the manner provided for persons in uniform. So any comments or questions? Do you remember any of that as kids? You know, did you, Larry, did probably not out in Simla, did that ever come up with school kids? Yeah, that's... Yeah, yep. Yeah, they always show those, and I'm glad they do that, and I'm always curious as to kids to be on TV. Well, I want to be on TV. Okay, well, say the but I don't want to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, you know, this is part of what Channel 21 is doing, so. Oh, I did too, yeah, yeah. Except you had the original Bellamy one, didn't you? Were you in 54, yeah, yep. So, so what does it mean? You know, Red Scout, I really like that, and which is, thanks again, Joanna, for, just prompting that. But oftentimes the pledge sometimes is learned by rote without paying attention to the most important component, the meaning it conveys. You know, those words mean something, like our Constitution, like our Declaration of Independence, like God's Word. You know, there's meaning there. It's not just pretty words, but what do they mean, and how does it influence our lives? And so the simple meaning can be lost in the carefully worded bouquets of flowery phrases. Is there? Here's a simple interpretation of the official wording of the Pledge of Allegiance. So I pledge allegiance. I promise my loyalty, that's a word that we are losing in our culture, to the flag of the United States of America. And so to the flag symbolizing. So the importance of that symbol, which is why when you see flag burnings and trampling and how it's misused, it goes beyond, just the flag. It goes beyond that. So the symbolizing the U.S. and all of its 50 states, and the republic for which it stands. And so this is a country where people have the right to choose their representatives to form the government. That's what just happened in our constitutional republic. One nation, we ought to be united. We are the United States of America. Under God, that's God willing, having faith in God. That goes back to a lot of our historical, during some of the discussion about the Constitution and just what did the founding fathers believe, but just the importance of faith and some of the freedoms we have, going back to a deity. We're not a Christian nation per se, but recognizing the transcendent, indivisible, a country that cannot be divided. And that, that's sometimes when we see what goes on, unfortunately, in our country and around the world. Do we really believe that anymore as a nation and appreciate what we have? Versus taking, instead of the responsibility of being good citizens, I just want my rights no matter what. With liberty, personal freedom, and that's a good thing, except when it becomes what's called libertine, where I can do whatever I want and you can't stop me. Well, there's a responsibility to be a good citizen in the United States. With liberty and justice, fair treatment from the law. Nobody is above the law. Lex rex, Latin phrase, the law is king, so that nobody, if we had kings in our country, nobody is above or outside the law. And for all, for each and every citizen of the country. And so the importance of what we stand for, why people want to come here, why, I love it sometimes, immigrants that have gone through the process, they are some of the most zealous of Americans. And I can think of some big name folks that have become Americans, that are like news commentators, that they are so passionate for the United States because they know what they left and they don't want to see that happen to the United States. Any comments on any of that? Or?
Well, one of the things, too, people forget is that we pledge allegiance to the flag, and also the oath we take is to support. Not as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's in the oath of office. In fact, that'll come up a little bit later as part of the commentary on, I'll give you a hint, Navy. Go Navy. But core values and things. But yeah, that's exactly right. And one more, I thought, just a little meaning that the Boy Scouts, this was years ago, translation, for their translation for each part of the flag. I pledge allegiance, you promise to be loyal. So Boy Scouts, is that two fingers, three fingers? Three fingers. To the flag, to the symbol of our country, of the United States of America, a nation of 50 states and several territories, each with certain rights of its own, and to the Republic, a country where the people elect representatives from among themselves to make laws for everyone, for which it stands. The flag represents the values of our form of government, to which everyone is equal under the law. One nation under God, a country formed under God, whose people are free to believe as they wish. Indivisible, the nation cannot be split into parts. With liberty and justice, with freedom and a system of law for all, for every person in the nation, regardless of their differences. So that's just heartwarming. And I remember just, I did some recruiting, and then of course in the military, one of the big things that got you into especially a service academy, if you were a Boy Scout or an Eagle Scout, that meant something. The patriotism and how, you know, just developing young men, and then of course the Girl Scouts, young women, just to be patriotic citizens. So any other comments or questions? Yeah.
You know, being a school teacher, and at one time they were not to say the Pledge of Allegiance in the classroom.
They were not? How long ago was that?
Not very. Well, it didn't matter to her. She did not make the kids stand up and say the pledge and put the hand on her heart, but she stood up, put her hand on her heart, and everyone in her class stood up.
Isn't it sad that something like that becomes controversial and is used for agendas? Because kids, they don't know. But then also kids, they don't want to be left out, so no kid's going to sit there when everybody else is standing. But then they go home and the parents, the nudows, are the ones that challenge this. In fact, one of the court cases, if you remember this, and I vaguely remember, you know, before reading some of the history here, that Michael Newdow, one of the Supreme Court cases, he took it to the Supreme Court, and they ruled not so much on the under God, but that, Mr. Newdow, you don't have custody of your child, you have no standing in this case. But organizations that use issues to try to push change on things that they don't like, but the town that George and I, our hometown, in Hillsboro, Illinois, one of those old-time main streets with the courthouse up at the head of Main Street that had a, you know, that went around the block and the courthouse was up there. Our courthouse had a big neon sign that said, "The world needs God." What's that? Is that a true statement? but it was on a courthouse. Well, a lawyer up in Chicago, of all places in Illinois, decided he could not in good conscience practice law as long as that sign was on that courthouse down in that little town. And so a lot of court cases came. And then you get in a small town where, you know, what percentage of the people in the town are actually Christians, but 100% of the citizens aren't going to have some Chicago lawyer tell us what we're going to do in our town. So right or wrong, it's we're not going to move our sign. Well, I think eventually they had to move it, and they took it off the courthouse, and some private pub business right across the street mounted it there. So anyway, any other comments?
Where they are, they don't recognize the nation or God or
Well, then, study of history, roots, that's one of the things I appreciate about you, that you let me, because I'm a history major, the importance of understanding the past, you know, the old Santayana, that if you don't know it, you're just, think you're reinventing. Yeah, and we've already done this. It didn't work the last 100 times we tried it. But, well, it'll work this time. And so understanding history when it comes to a country, but also biblically. In fact, let me read now. So part of the series, and this goes from our series, you know, on election and God's word and your vote to, of course, Reformation Sunday, the importance of that. Did you like the guest speaker? He's a troublemaker. But I understand he said a couple nice things about me. So, but then now today, Veterans Day, the freedoms and everything that we have, it's all tied together. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in 13. So part of my premise and all that, I think we all agreed that we as American Christians, our first allegiance is here. But we also should be good citizens and part of the process and recognizing our Constitution and the importance of what our country should stand for. But 1 Peter 2, beginning verse 13. This is now Peter. This will sound familiar, and I've read it several times. But therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so that first allegiance, doing good, ultimate good. And who gets to define that? Well, God does. And that's when we start trying to define that ourselves apart from absolute laws, we can get in trouble. And so free, you know, as free. Well, of course, Peter here is talking about the freedom we have from the bondage of sin as Christians. But then how can we take that from that realm, you know, to the United States, the freedoms we enjoy as Americans, that despite, you know, differences in political rank or whatever it may be, we don't go to civil war, you know, or do like you see sometimes around the world. Not using your liberty as a cloak for vice. And there's the freedom, as Americans, with responsibility, but as Christians, we are free in Christ. But because we are free in Christ, we don't use that, oh, well, Jesus died to save me from my sin, so therefore I can do whatever. That is not what that means. And then honor all people. You know, folks, that's, and we'll talk about the honor of veterans and we as Christians, how we should honor ultimately God, but of course one another. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Any comments or questions on that? Isn't that good and how it fits in? I'll be using the term today, and sometimes I've these Veterans Day, you know, core values, the Naval Corps, the core values of the Navy, and some great language that's supposed to represent the naval personnel. You know, naval personnel, yes, Air Force probably not. So. But that language, which stirring when you pay attention to the words, you know, it's not just up for a shiny brochure, but how much more should we as Christians then exemplify that? So we honor our veterans, obviously. We should honor one another. We should be people of honor because ultimately it flows out of our honor for God. All right, one more. Proverbs 24. Beginning in verse 21. My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. And so fearing God, and of course back in that day, theocracy, the king, ultimate king is God, but the king of Israel, David, Solomon, and be careful of getting rid of old, you know, old traditions, the faith, once delivered, we might say, as Christians. Don't be so quick to, you know, we need to move on with the times, and that gospel stuff, we need to change that. And so those, that's what, given to change for their calamity, those who want to jettison the traditions, the truth handed down ultimately from God, and then also in our country from the Constitution, because that can bring ruin. Fear the Lord and the King. And that was change. That was one of the things, if you were here last week, part of the tradition, the history, the legacy that all of us, whatever our church denominational backgrounds are, we all were influenced by the Protestant Reformation, whether we know it or not. And some of the things that they were fighting for, I think our guest speaker talked about that German monk. I'm assuming you all know who that German monk was. He was talking about Luther. But Luther wanting to reform things from inside the church, but very quickly it became political and a lot more than just, wait a minute, what does Scripture say? And so he then, being a good stubborn German monk, said, you know what? No, I cannot. Salvation by faith alone, that was the material cause, the main cause, if you will, of that everything hinged on in the Reformation. And his favors, I think Luther's been here before, right? Hasn't he come? I think he's been here several times and with the Gideons maybe. But unless I'm convinced by sacred scripture and evident reason and not by popes and councils which so have often erred and contradicting themselves, I will not recant. You know, I will not say that what I said was wrong, because my conscience is held captive by the word of God, and to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. You know, there's a commitment, a pledge of allegiance to something far greater than even how we do a flag and what we say to a flag and a nation. But folks, that stirs my soul, and I appreciate that we are Americans. Obviously, I appreciate the freedom we have, most importantly, in Christ. And I appreciate you, that you know that this is one of my favorite days, services, you know, just when we remember you people that have, you know, served our country so that we can be up here in the beauty of the Rocky Mountains, worshiping God in freedom. So, any last comments or questions or personal abuse? Well, thank you, Red Skelton. Thank you, Joanna. Was that very good? That's. I suspect a lot of us maybe had heard that before, but that's neat, because a lot of times. So, for example, I know we would never do this here, but I love when we say the Lord's Prayer. That's a pretty good prayer, because Jesus gave it to us, right? But do we just go through the motions? Do we think about, you know, what each of those words and phrases actually means to us as Christians, and what are the attributes that make a prayer good and the Lord's Prayer, the prayer he gave to his disciples, instead of sometimes our typical prayer is, Lord, I want a Cadillac. Not only a Cadillac, I want a blue Cadillac with a V8 engine. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our great nation. We thank you for just the history, the tradition. We thank you for our flag and what it represents. And may we be patriotic Americans because we truly understand the greatness of your blessing on this nation. Because ultimately our citizenship is in heaven. We are sojourners and pilgrims here. We are ambassadors for Christ, as your word says. And so help us to be the best Americans, because we are living our lives ultimately for your glory. Thank you for the veterans. Thank you for this special day. And we look forward to the special service. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. All right.